Good evening and welcome to the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting for Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. This is also a meeting of the successor agency to the dissolved Arroyo Grande Redevelopment Agency, also Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Indeed.
Councilmember Herman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Here. Please join us in a moment of reflection. Thank you. If you would please stand and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Be seated. Have no closed session announcements tonight. Can we move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adopted be read in title only and all further readings
so moved.
Be waived?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Tonight we have a special presentation, and Keith Hatfield is our monthly water conservation champion. So, Keith, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium. This is a mayor's commendation presented to Keith Hatfield with sincere appreciation for your commitment to water conservation by participating in the city's Cash for Grass program. Your conversion of 1,542 square feet of grass at your residential property through turf removal and other water conservation efforts has resulted in an average water usage reduction of 60%, representing an annual savings of approximately 125,000 gallons per year. You're truly a water conservation champion. Thank you, Keith. This is very important to the city, and we sincerely appreciate it. So on behalf of the council and myself, thank you.
Could I say?
Please do.
Well, in doing something normal.
Hold the mic. Hold the mic.
Something I thought was normal to get an award, I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you.
Appreciate your
Thanks, all of you.
Brings us to community comments and suggestions. Any member of the public may address the council on anything that is not on the agenda this evening. For those things that are on the agenda this evening, there'll be an opportunity to speak before each of the agenda items are considered. So if anyone would like to address the council, we respectfully request that you limit your comments to 3 minutes, and you're welcome to come up at this time. Linda.
Thank you for letting me speak this evening. God of power and might, wisdom and justice, through your authority is rightly administered, laws are enacted, and judgment is decreed. Assist with your spirit of counsel and fortitude, the mayor, the council members, and the staff as they consider the 2015 and 16 and the 2016-17 budgets. Consider agreements between the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach for fire, rescue, and emergency medical dispatching services. May they always seek the ways of righteousness, justice, and mercy. Grant that they may be enabled by your powerful protection to lead our city with honesty and integrity. We ask this in the name of Christ the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the council at this time?
I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to bring your council's attention to tomorrow night's
Oceano Community Services District Board agenda. There's an item on there that has to do with their relationship with the Five Cities Fire Authority and the upcoming change in their budget, similar to something you considered a couple of weeks ago. They go a step further, and their staff is asking for the recommendation, I believe they'll get it, or they'll give it, that the new formula be applied in arrears, and perhaps there may be some reconciliation that may need to be done. And if that is the case, I believe that could be a real stumbling block in the future for the three communities, for the FCFA. It's characterized as a side issue for them, but something that I saw in your discussions a couple of weeks ago was a side issue related to the rent that Five Cities Fire Authority has been paying Oceano for the use of their fire station these last 5 years. And should all the pieces and parts end up on the table and there's a shakeup, my concern is that any one of the three communities may have to come up in some way to balance that relationship. And if Five Cities Fire proceeds at the end of next week with engaging a battalion chief, engaging the $2 an hour rate increase for the reserve firefighters, that you all will be embarking on something you cannot sustain. And one or more of your three communities may be set very far behind. And I think it's prudent that all these chips get on the table before there's a hiring process, before there's a raise in place. And I think it's just the fiscally right thing to do, because I think the fallout could be tremendous for one or more of the three communities.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the council at this time?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and staff. I just wanted to speak real quick regarding an issue that also concerns the sanitation district. And the item that is also coming before the OCSD tomorrow night. And this is with regards to the billing for collecting the sewer fees that each city is responsible for. Over the last approximate 10 years, Oceano has collected 4,900 and some odd change per year and charged the sanitation district $4,900 for their collection of the sewer fees. The last 18 months, they have charged $33,000, and they have submitted to the sanitation district another invoice for another $11,000 that they're demanding be paid. Arroyo Grande charges approximately $12,000 a year, and now Oceano has upped their fees to $22,000. So considering the significant number of fewer hookups that they have, $22,000 doesn't seem to be in line with anything that anyone else in the district is doing. And so I wanted to further encourage Chair Hill of the Sanitation District to hold firm and have Oceano come forward with some numbers that substantiate their claim for those fees, because it seems to have really jumped out of line. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comment? Okay. Thank you all. Hearing no further comment, we'll move. move to the consent agenda. Would any council member like to remove anything for individual consideration? I need to have item 8E echo considered separately because I live within 500 feet of one of the affected properties.
I don't have anything. I'd make a motion for approval of all other items except that one.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that items 8A, B, C, D, and F be approved as presented. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. And I will leave the room and request Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge to take over.
Approval of 8E.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Can I have roll call, please, Kelly?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
That volume is really good tonight.
For them. Okay, tonight we have no public hearings and no old business. However, we do have a closed session item that needs to be considered before the new business items. And I don't believe it'll take very long and appreciate your patience with us. But if council could introduce the closed session, please.
Mayor, we'll be adjourning to closed session for a conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1. That's the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria case. We'll also be discussing conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The city's representative is the interim city manager, Bob McFall. Unrepresented employees are management and part-time employees. Lastly, we have a conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, again with negotiator McFall, and this time represented employees of the Service Employees International Union, Local 620.
Thank you. Would anyone like to address the council about the closed session items at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to closed session. Thank you.
With regard to negotiations with the unrepresented management full-time and part-time employees. With regard to item 15C, the City Council gave negotiating authority to the interim city manager or his designee to negotiate with the Service Employees International Union based on a request regarding the reopening clause.
Thank you very much. So moving on to item 11, which is new business, 11A, may I ask the clerk to introduce the item?
Yes, item 11A is consideration of fiscal year 2015-16 and fiscal year 2016-17 biennial budget.
Mr. McFall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. This evening culminates the efforts of several months of the City Council in considering the new two-year budget that is presented to the City Council for your adoption this evening. This process has included a public workshop where the department heads presented a number of factors, their trends and challenges that we're experiencing. We received council direction back on where council viewed priorities to exist. And then we followed up with two very detailed presentations, both on the capital improvement program, the sales tax, and other special fund budgets, and then most recently with the general fund preliminary budget. Based on the responses that we'd received from the city council and discussion that we have, we've incorporated all of the changes, the best that we are able to, from council direction into the total budget document that you're going to see tonight and that Debbie Malicote, our Administrative Services Director, will present. There are a couple of items as we go through that we need clarification on, in particular in the capital improvement program, to ensure that staff has clarity on those issues. And so after Debbie goes through the presentation, which is very brief because you've seen all this information, it's just to summarize and to ensure that we're all on the same page for what council's direction was, and then we can come back and, of course, revisit any items that council has an interest in, and also from staff's perspective to ensure that we've heard clearly council's direction on this. With that, I'd like to introduce Debbie Malicote to make the actual summary presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and members of council. Tonight, the purpose is to approve the biennial budget for fiscal year 15-16 and 16-17. We do prepare a biennial budget, but we appropriate funding each year at a time. So before you tonight is appropriating just the funding for the first year of the two-year biennial budget. As Bob mentioned, this is the culmination of several months of work by the entire staff at the city, a very collaborative process that touches every department. Again, we started back in March with a budget workshop. We had a preliminary review in the first part of May for non-general fund programs and projects. Those included the water and sewer enterprise funds, as well as the capital improvement program projects that are out there, and the sales tax funds. May 28th, we reviewed the general fund programs and projects, and council gave some direction regarding position additions and reclassifications that were proposed at that time. I know this is a lot listed here, but this is kind of the direction that we got from the council in relation to mostly staffing-related items. We have four full-time and one part-time positions that we're going to be adding across all funds, general fund as well as the water fund. Most of this is accomplished through the reduction of other line items and reprioritization of programs in the general fund of about $126,000. We did reclassify a couple of positions in the Public Works Department related to supervisors and the office assistant that is out there. And we had some very minor funding adjustments for technology and for the required Government Accounting Standards Board pronouncement that was issued. So those have all been incorporated into the final budget. In addition, in regards to the capital program, we've made some changes based on what we thought we heard from the council, and this is where we need you to correct us if we didn't get it quite right. We've eliminated the staircase project at Hooskow Park and reallocated that funding of $30,000 toward a project that would install artificial turf at the dog park. It should be noted that this would not fully fund that project. It would probably fund approximately 50% of the project. That's a project that isn't necessarily designed or ready to go or shovel ready, as they say, but it is funding that we would propose to put towards an artificial turf project at the dog park. Staff is recommending the deferral of the lighting project at Don Roberts Field. Given the significant increase in cost there, we feel like that's a project that perhaps we should reprioritize the use of all of that funding, and there may be other opportunities that are higher priority that would come forward. I think probably the biggest area where we struggled determining what consensus we had or didn't have with the council from the budget hearing was the upgrades that are needed for this particular building that we're in. We were very clear. I think we got clear direction from the council that the technology upgrades need to move forward. And that can be done separate and independent from the physical changes that we might make to the building to make it more ADA compliant and to do some other physical improvements to the building. So while we would propose to do that as one project, they certainly can be bifurcated, and we will move forward with that. However, we do recommend retaining the funding for the physical improvements. At this time, it is a very conceptual project. It's not even a preliminary design. It's got a conceptual design to it. So we would bring back to the council an opportunity to more fully vet the scope of that project, the design for the building, and we can certainly address any funding issues that may be required at that time. So we would recommend retaining that funding for now. Similarly, the Elm Street Community Center funding remains as we proposed. I know there was some concern about the timing of when we might do something at the Elm Street facility. It is definitely in need of replacement. There's no more bandaging that we can put on that building. It's time for a full replacement. We're just a little bit premature in some of the important critical path issues that are facing the Five Cities Community Foundation. And so once we have resolved some of those issues, we will be able to fully explore all of the opportunities that may present themselves for the Elm Street Community Center. So the funding remains as it was originally proposed, recognizing that we will fully explore that when the timing is right. We heard from council the desire to move forward in obtaining the LaPointe Street parking lot sooner rather than later, and we will move forward with the actions to get that underway. We will need to talk with the property owners and obtain an estimate for the cost, for the purchase price. There's a number of things that we'll need to do, but we will definitely get moving on that sooner rather than later. And then the Briscoe Road Interchange project, and the CIP does assume that project will move forward in some fashion. We, of course, don't know what that looks like yet. There are two options that may be moving forward. The CIP assumes that we will need about a $16.3 million project in the second year of the biennial budget. But that's not a number that is fixed or firm at this point. And exactly how we will pay for that, right now we're assuming we would issue debt for about $9 million. Until we have a more firm number, this is just the best information we have available today at this time. But that is a project that obviously will be coming back to the council for more discussion in the future. By the numbers, you can see that the second year of the budget is substantially higher than the first year. It's about a $70 million budget in total, and that does reflect the capital project, $16.3 million of that is that Briscoe project that I mentioned that happens in the second year of the financial plan. So you can see that the general fund is going to spend approximately $15 million a year, and we have a $70 million total. If you look at it by the way that we'll use that funding, it's almost equal thirds, that about a third of it will go towards employee costs, salaries and benefits. A third of it will go towards services and supplies. And about a third of it will go to capital projects. As we have mentioned to the council before, our focus is on future sustainability and how we're going to ensure that we can continue to provide the services to the community that the community expects in a sustainable fashion. And to do that, we are going to focus our very limited resources on the things that we consider to be critical needs. So over the next two-year budget period, on the screen is displayed the list of what we would consider to be the critical needs for staff to focus on. The first is an economic development plan. That is really the underpinning a lot of the rest of this. If we don't have a good economic development plan and we don't put some actions into place, we're not going to be able to sustain the levels of service that we currently provide. So that involves not only ensuring that we are as efficient and effective as possible, but also ensuring that we are generating revenues appropriate for our community. Obviously, the Briscoe Road Interchange is going to be a large project in the next two-year period. We're continuing to focus on a pavement management program and an escalated sidewalk repair program. As I mentioned, we will be addressing the Recreation Department facility needs as information becomes available related to the Five Cities Community Foundation project. We will continue working towards long-term water supply issues, whether that be through conservation or through recycled water projects or other sources that may become available to us during the next biennial period. That will be something that we will focus on. One of the things that we know that we need to do is focus on asset replacements. What do we have? How often do we need to replace it? How much does that cost? We don't necessarily have a plan for how to fund that yet, but we don't even know what that replacement would look like in some cases. So we need to do a better job of defining that and making sure that we have that information so that we can have a sustainable long-term plan for what we need to do for the community. And that, of course, ties into a long-range financial plan. So those are the things that we as staff would see as being the focus and the critical needs that we would have a focus on in the next two-year budget period. So with that, the recommendation in front of you tonight is to adopt a resolution approving the fiscal year 2015-16 budget.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, if I can add a couple of closing comments. Would you go back to the slide and add it? At the conclusion of the last year budget process, you had your long-range financial plan, which you gone through a tremendous amount of work to make that work over the next 10 years and also to actually anticipate a recession at a point in time. That plan had showed for this year that there would be a capacity of approximately $300,000 available in order to be able to make adjustments. For the reasons that we've talked about, primarily CalPERS, that money ended up not being available. So our challenge was how did we accommodate for that, and also how did we be able to take some steps that would allow for a sustainable organization, what we believe are these adjustments here. What I wanted to be very careful to note is that these additions that are made on here, the adjustments that have taken place that we believe will not only protect services to the community but enhance them, these have been done primarily through a matter of reprioritizing existing funding. Everything that you see on that screen up there, if you added up the dollars, there would be a significant amount to it. It has all been done through reprioritizing for a total net cost to the general fund on that page of about $40,000. And that where there was about $300,000 that we had thought there would be to work with this last year. Circumstances weren't able to do it. The departments are working together and just simply going through their budgets and reprioritizing existing services the best they could was able to accomplish all of this for a fraction of that amount. Then the last item that I did want to note is the long-range financial plan. The long-range financial plan has been substantially impacted as a result of, once again, the primary issues that we had talked about that were simply very large items. We genuinely believe that there is a tremendous capacity in Arroyo Grande for economic development. And on East Grand Avenue, we're already seeing some substantial projects that are coming online that we think will have a meaningful impact. But we also believe, as we've just begun to explore new opportunities, that there is actually means for us through economic development of making the community a better place to do business and an attraction of new business, not through the addition of a lot of new fees and taxes, but through really a healthy local economy that Arroyo Grande can benefit in financial ways as have in financial ways through the health of the economy. We really have to want, we have to not be casual about that. This is going to take a very deliberate going forward action of setting goals, financial goals and targets, and then going after those targets, and the whole time watching how those targets impact the long-range financial plan, because it is imperative to get that plan back on track the way that it was always intended to be. With that, Mr. Mayor, members of council, on behalf of all the department heads and the Administrative Services Director, we present for your consideration tonight the biannual budget for 2015-16 through 16-17.
Okay, thank you. We'll start with questions from the council, if any. Councilmember Guthrie?
Yeah, just two quick questions. On the, in the staff report, there was a $40,000 for a study related to that would be the beginning of the replacement of the recreation building. Am I picking the right number?
The budget in the current year does have about $40,000 that would be available that could help, whether we need to patch together the existing building, do some preliminary design or study work on what we may move forward with, but there is about $40,000 in the current budget that obviously would carry forward if we don't spend it at the end of this year.
Okay, so in that preliminary study there, we would actually, would we get some confirmation or what I'll call due diligence on the direct condition of this building? I mean, we've heard from staff just a general point that the building is not fixable, but
I think we'll
get a more specific.
I don't know that the study that we would anticipate that. We have had a comprehensive building inspection done, and that inspection does indicate that the building has really reached the end of its useful life and that we may be able to get a little bit more time out of it, but there isn't significant time left in that building. So I think what we would anticipate that study would look more like what do we need, how big of a size might we replace the existing structure with, kind of as a scope for replacement, not so much confirming what we think we already know, which is that the existing building is just beyond its useful life.
I know Mr. Rogers and the Public Works Director available, who have been, of course, very involved in the assessment. If there's further questions or details on that, they'd be happy to address them.
Yes, yeah, just at some point, I guess I'd like to see a copy of that inspection. I don't think that was ever actually brought forward, but I appreciate that. The second question I had relates to Briscoe Halcyon, and I don't know whether Teresa's here or maybe Bob can answer this, and it has to do with the construction costs of Alternative 1 versus Alternative 4, I believe it is, off the top of my head. So if you've got those two numbers, maybe you can just get those into the record for us.
Sure. The alternative one, and it's not a complete cost right now, because there are right away acquisitions that will have to take place and adjustments that simply at this point aren't exactly known. So there were some assumptions that were built into the option one for right away, but with a caveat that those could change, and the range on that is runs approximately. Now I'm drawing a blank on it.
I remember. It's 9.5.
Yeah, 9.5, 9.6 million. 9.5, correct. On the alternative 4C that's in place right now has a broader range on the final estimate, and that one has been, in fact, is in the process of being updated, as we have just gotten the most recent Caltrans feedback from it, which is causing the area to be lowered in elevation, so there's more grading that's involved in now. So we're back to we are finalizing the budget, but it is running in the approximately $16 million range for alternative 4C, but that is a moving target at this time. 15.5 to 16 million.
All right, those are my questions. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge.
Thank you. Bob, on the Don Roberts field lighting, So John looked into that, and the amount of revenue that we would take in for the increased use of those fields didn't quite make sense to install all the new lighting. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. What we did, and this is a matter of setting priorities, and the recreation building really is a priority. The eventuality of whatever happens, that is a priority. On the cost analysis for the Don Roberts Field, John Roberts did a very extensive evaluation of capitalizing the improvement cost on it versus the anticipated revenue that can be generated. Looking at the user groups, these are adult, semi-pro user groups. They pay one fee. If it's local youth, it's a whole different fee. And this is more of a local youth usage. And it's simply this particular time from a priority standpoint didn't make sense to proceed with the project. It's a good project, and at some point in the future, we'd like to bring it back when we've taken care of some of the other priorities.
Okay, and then I know there was a question at one point about that field actually being in Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach. Did we determine if that was in Arroyo Grande?
We actually had the city engineer examine the property lines associated with it, and it is fully within Arroyo Grande. There is a sewer line connection that appears to be that goes into Grover Beach that was an adjustment that was made at the time simply because it was a more direct way to do it, but it's fully within Arroyo Grande.
Okay, thank you. Then my other question I have is in regards to the city council chambers upgrade, not the IT, because I think we were all on board with the IT, but do you have a breakdown of the costs of, because I don't remember, I mean, I know there were ADA things that we were going to do for the restrooms, and then I wanted to see how
the breakdown. Yes. Let me, Mr. English can come forward. As he's coming forward, we had actually quite a bit of discussion about this recently, and we'd actually like to almost recharacterize this project as one that we do have the technology. The police chief is particularly fond of pointing out that we actually have cathode ray tube television sets, and here are some of the last probably remaining in the community. But it is a technology, but that while we've characterized this as an ADA project, the ADA is actually a byproduct of the real intent, which was just to provide public restrooms. That's the primary issue, is to be able to provide public restrooms in the facility, and of course they have to be ADA compliant when we make them. Mr. English has been responsible for the project overall, can provide more detail on the cost breakdown that you requested. Yeah.
Yes, Mayor Hill, members of council, in front of you is a conceptual design plan that was drafted in 2009. For the public, there's a copy back on the counter. This is, again, just a conceptual design plan. City Manager McFaul indicated, we consider this project to be largely a restroom project. Which will allow for the reconfiguration of the conference room as well. For all who attend these meetings regularly, use of the restrooms can be a challenge, and there's a wait. We believe that separate men's and women's facilities are warranted. The $200,000 estimate is a high guesstimate from a few years back that was based on some simple square footage analysis of interior renovation project. That project is still in the budget. Again, this is conceptual. If council chooses to move forward with this project, we would bring forward potential design plans for your review and consideration before moving forward. It does address handicap accessibility issues. It does deal with some security issues and sound issues in regard to the conference room. So there's some benefits to it. We also would recommend that this move forward at the same time as the sound project goes forward, because we do want to incorporate some construction elements in the sound and AV improvement project, such as the potential for a cabinet to enclose equipment and things of that nature. We believe that project would be more cost-effective if it was done at the same time as this project. That's why we're recommending that you move forward with both projects simultaneously. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
So, Jeff, you said the remodel right here is approximately $200,000 when we first were given this, or do you think maybe that's today's cost?
It was a few years old. We believe this project can be done for that amount as well.
Okay. And that doesn't include the sound. The $200,000 doesn't include the sound. It's just the remodel.
This is just the remodel portion. They are separately funded.
Right. Okay.
I believe there's $30,000 in the PEG fee.
No, I don't know what the balance is. We have a higher balance in the PEG fund, but the audio and visual improvements would be funded through the PEG fund.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that gives me an idea of the two separate costs. So those are my only questions on that. I think those are my only questions overall. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Councilmember Harmon.
Thank you. This does also have to do with the council chambers, but it is more of a question pertaining to, on page 5, it indicated that there was going to actually be what was referred to costs are involved with providing council a design and a project scope. So my concern is if we have the consensus to go forward with the technical upgrades, and we don't want to spend any of the money that's been set aside for the remodel and enhancement, is there any cost to just providing that design and project scope? And if so, then how much would that eat away at the budget we're setting aside for not remodeling? Does that make sense?
Councilmember Harmon, there would be we would start any project, certainly this one, without with some form of a conceptual design. We were fortunate that we actually already have some spatial analysis that's been done, not only by an architect but also by our community development department. So we actually already have a pretty good idea of how this could work. Now it would be taking this and beginning to incorporate into that how the actual practicalities, current ADA requirements, to make sure that, in fact, that this would work. I really don't have a good estimate on what the cost of that would be, but if we were moving forward with a architect to design this or even house, we would need to start with that conceptual design under any circumstance.
So back to the staff report, where it indicates then when it's describing the design and project scope, design actually means hiring an architect to fine-tune it to get us the design scope, therefore then the cost.
Yeah, I'll let Jeff address that. We've had back and forth discussions on whether we...
We did have some discussions regarding the design. We believe that this project can be... the conceptual design can be done in-house, and we can do the drafting work in-house. We would need an architect to approve the plan, so there would be some necessity to hire an architect and work with an architect. We believe that we can keep that cost to a minimum so that it doesn't impact the construction costs. It's a relatively simple design. We can bring some conceptual ideas to the council, move forward with drafting work, and then work with an architect to finalize the plans and prepare them for bid. So we believe that we can keep those costs to a minimum.
Okay. Thanks. That more information that helps kind of put it together. Appreciate that. Okay. And then the other question pertains to the economic development plan that's on the critical needs. Do we have a time frame on that? It was indicated it's a top priority, but do we have any time frame on that? Is that like within the quarter? Exactly what might that entail related to actually getting that going? It would be important to know.
Absolutely. We've already begun. We are in that economic development plan right now. We've actually received referrals from council members on projects that are going on, and we've assigned staff to begin working on those projects. be able to help expedite them, provide options to them and to the development. We've already started that on a very deliberate basis. The community development director and I, who actually wasn't able to be here this evening, community development director and I have sat down to begin establishing goals, goals from the standpoint of targets that we would look at, types of businesses that might be appropriate, the adjustments and adjustments that might be necessary, but implementation of the existing economic development element that's in place, and from a real-time perspective, starting to look at properties that can either have infill opportunities or, as importantly, reuse of existing properties that have a higher value. So we've already started. Now, we, with Council's endorsement of this tonight, then we will, in the next couple of months, and your new city manager actually has a lot of skills in this particular area, we've put together a more specific plan that, when we had laid out last week, includes every element and every person within the organization, including the City Council. Well, we see this as that we're really going to stretch. There are some very specific goals that we believe that Arroyo Grande can achieve, taking advantage of a number of efforts that are going on, not the least of which is the TBID and tourism efforts that are taking place.
Okay, very good. I'm glad that that's on the front burner. I do have one more question, and it's related to page 13. Has to do with it's under the trust and agencies funds. I just wanted a clarification related to the big bump under expenses. It's going up to 1.3 million. I know that Ms. Malicote and I had a discussion about this, but I wanted just to have that explained on record on what that big bump is attributed to from the prior year.
Certainly, as the council is probably aware, the successor agency currently holds a title to a piece of property over on Fay Street that we will need to dispose of due to the regulations for redevelopment. We have that on the books for about $825,000. So when we sell that property, we will hopefully sell for at least what we what it's on the books for, although I don't know what the current appraisal for that is. But we have to then forward that money to the State Department of Finance, and then it gets redistributed to all of the participating taxing agencies in our county and trickles back down to us in some fashion. But essentially, we will experience about an $800,000 expense, if you will, when we sell that to the, because we will have to forward those proceeds to the state.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I have nothing further.
Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I must have been tired the night we did this. I'm thinking about the dog park allocation for the AstroTurf. I don't remember that, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. I guess what I'm more concerned about is there was donations generated to pay for that. Are we looking to recoup any of the money that we're spending on the AstroTurf going forward?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, your first point, there was a consensus direction on using the Huascal $30,000, but it wasn't a formal action. Actually, tonight, council would take the formal action to approve that, but we heard a consensus direction, and so we moved it into that. Even within the capital improvement program, we note that this is money is intended as a match with other resources, those other resources being the funding that has already been donated for that purpose. So from our perspective, what's going to happen now is that we have come through. The city has actually put money up to it. This is going to provide great money for the new organization to be able to start with, and it gives us the full authority to go and request those monies that, in good faith, people have given for the dog park to match this amount.
Great. Thank you for that. I have some comments, but I'll hold those back on the City Hall issue for later. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, my questions might actually be comments, and I think they're already addressed. Was the dog park was one, and the Briscoe interchange budget for next year includes that, if we'll call it the worst case, where an additional $9 million in bonded indebtedness would be approved for the 4C option, whereas the other option would not require, would require some additional funding, obviously, distinguished from what SLOCOG and the grant funding may provide, but would be significantly less than the amount specified as effectively worst case.
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So with that, are there public comments on the budget?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, there's actually one additional item that I need to note by matter of process. Earlier this evening had discussed some final position adjustments that we've proposed to the City Council. We respectfully request that you would consider those in your deliberation this evening. We have promised to come in with a balanced budget, there is a cost implication to those, and a funding strategy was laid out to you of how to be able to provide for those, and actually, in fact, how to provide beyond what those costs would be in various different budgetary reductions without affecting any service levels, though. So we presented that strategy, and if the City Council cares to entertain that later, if you could make that a part of your motion to specifically note these amounts along with whatever adjustments Council ultimately approves, that would be appreciated.
So would it be appropriate to read through those so that the public may
absolutely
be aware of them going forward?
Sure. I'll read through the list. We had a target of achieving approximately an additional or a reduction in cost of approximately $64,000. We set up a target to actually reduce $70,000 to $75,000, and we have come back with a proposal that would be $73,100 or approximately $9,000 more than what our actual need was. The first item is updating an appropriate level of cost recovery for the Five Cities Fire Authority for administrative services that the City of Arroyo Grande provides to the administrative services. We're estimating, we believe, conservatively at $10,000 for that. We have an amount that's $10,000 additional over what's already being collected. We had included in the budget funding for consultant negotiators in our future MOU agreements of $25,000 over 2 years for a total of $50,000. We believe, given the current nature of our MOU and bargaining, that those monies will not be necessary, so we would offer to reduce that by $25,000. The Recreation Department wanting to participate in this, despite that they are a pretty much enterprise-driven, has a $1,000 overtime budget, which they do not use, and so the $1,000 is being eliminated. The Police Department has a long-term vacant police reserve position that was maintained for future potential flexibility, but is not a position that they have used in the past number of years, nor has a potential future use for, so have recommended eliminating that. For the executives, there is money that has been set aside for an annual executive retreat and executive-level leadership training. We have cut that amount in half for a savings of $3,100. Presented alternative means to provide the Stagecoach Express other than the printed means, which our feeling is that by the time it actually goes through the process of being put together and mailed out, it is actually old news in comparison to the electronic distributions for $2,500. With the advent of hiring a city engineer that has traffic engineering experience, we can reduce contract traffic engineering services by a matter of $4,000 that is now can be done by an in-house staff person. And then finally, there is a matter in the city, a miscellaneous, a small miscellaneous contraction service budget in the city administration budget, in essence, the city council, city manager budget that we reduced by half in an amount of $2,500 for a total of $73,100. And as indicated, those amounts more than offset the proposed final staff adjustments.
Okay, thank you. With that explanation, then, would anyone like to comment on the proposed budget?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Aaron Hinkle. I reside at 196 South Alpine here in Norway Grande. With Briscoe Road, there was a couple things. One, inside the staff report, it mentioned at a later date after the project report was signed, if there were more monies were needed to come back to you. I believe with the signing of the project report, all funds for the project have to be identified in the project report. You have to have everything disclosed right then and there. It's a STIP project, and I believe according to Caltrans Gold Book, those have to be identified right then. As Mr. McFall said, the latest design for Alt 4C is lowering it by approximately 5 feet. This will include extra cost above just earthwork. This is going to increase your cost for your retaining walls, your footings, and a lot of other things that are not have not been discussed. So the $9 million you're looking for could go up very quickly, very, very quickly. It hasn't been fully disclosed. I would like to see some of this stuff start coming to us, the citizens, today, to start really being able to give you all feedback of what we as a community would like to see at that location, especially for the dollars we're talking. If we're talking $9 million and only $3 million more to do the Alt 1, according to staff, that leaves $6 million that can go someplace else in our community. And our roads, I know that Mr. English is having a hard time keeping up with our roads, our ADA compliance, which we've been out of compliance for a long time, because I have had communications with staff over the years, and it's just not there. They misinterpreted the federal law, and until recently, with Mr. English on board, had not been complying with federal law. It's another thing with Briscoe and the CIP, it didn't note that $6.6 million is actually coming from SLOCOG to offset a lot of that cost. So it's not directly coming out of our budget, because that's coming from SLOCOG. And one last thing I'd kind of like to ask is, several months ago, because it's been a while since I've been in front of you all, direction was given from this council to staff to look at testing closing the ramps again. I would like to know where that is, because from what I've been told, nothing's been done on it. If this is true, I think this would be a good opportunity to move forward with that and really test and see if we need to spend $16 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the budget?
Thank you again, Beatrice Spencer. I, too, wanted to speak with regards to Briscoe Road, because I live near there and I've attended meetings about Briscoe Road for years now. I am really disheartened that we are spending yet more money to study option 4C without even closing the ramps, as Mr. Hinkle just referred to. Why do we want to keep spending money on option 4C when we know that closing the ramps worked before and put ourselves potentially $9 million ? More in debt? Because when I hear Mr. McFall say that there's a broader scope in the cost, to me, I think, oh, that's more room for cost overruns. This is almost an open-ended thing. And you just heard a couple more of the items that haven't even been addressed yet. I believe there is also increased cost with acquiring that the extra property that 4C would require. There's just more to it. Let's get those ramps closed, see if that works again. Do we really need to take on additional $9 million in debt when we've got $14 million in PERS liabilities that we're already responsible for? We're making a choice to burden ourselves with that debt. Let's not make that choice. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to the budget?
Patty Walsh, Rio Grande. As a resident who voted against the charter, I want to thank all you guys for doing what you do to get us a balanced budget. As a resident, I feel better when we're all sitting here talking about the money and how we're going to make it work, and you have the input from the public. I think it's a great thing. I was not liking not having a balanced budget. And also, thanks for giving the police department the IT that I think is going to help all the citizens have better policing in the city. So thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to comment on the proposed budget? Okay, hearing none at this time. Is there comments from council? Councilmember Guthrie.
Well, I think we had a lot of the comments last time, but I think I'll start with, I am okay with the basic budget, the general fund budget. I'm certainly struggling with adding positions, even though many of them are offset. Just as I noted, it's easier to right size on the way up than it is on the way down. But I am convinced that there's leverage, if you will, from those from the positions that we are going to fill and fund. And I'm confident that we'll be able to balance it with other cuts. I'm still struggling with the rec department. I think it's partly because when we looked at other, whether it was City Hall or the police department, we did a lot of assessment. Now, granted, it was a lot of deciding how to do the projects, and there are more expensive projects than this apparently is. But I'm still struggling with sort of out of the blue, almost as soon as we approve the police building, here's the next building. So I'll look forward to reviewing the inspection report, and I do understand it's an old portable building. It's likely that it's cheaper to replace it than fix it. But I am still struggling with that. I think the one area I struggle with the most, and this would be the one change I'd be looking for tonight, and that has to do with the local sales tax. This is kind of near and dear to my heart. I did work on the committee that got this passed. We did have fairly specific direction from the community when that was passed on what the priorities were, and we're pretty much through those priorities other than Briscoe Road. And so to me, it's just essential that we have the funding available to complete that. It wasn't really a promise, but that direction we were given by the community. And certainly I recognize huge difference in cost between the two alternatives. But either way, we're going to need funding. We're going to need, I've got $4 million on one side and $7 million on the other that we would need to fund somehow. Certainly bonding's one issue, is one way to go, but it's possible we might want to find a shorter way to do that. So anyway, my concern here is making sure that we have enough money left in the local sales tax to fund that project, to be sure that we'll be able to complete that. And so based on that, also my second problem has to do with the fact that we're now what I'm going to call categorizing money rather than prioritizing money in the used sales tax fund. And so we're saying $50,000 here, $100,000 there, for just general projects, and I have a problem with that. In that, as I'm noting, I think it's essential that with the limited funds we have, that we're actually prioritizing the improvements that we're going to make. If the rec department is the rec building is the community building is the number one priority, then by all means, let's commit the funds and get that done. If ADA is a priority, then let's commit the funds and get that done. But let's do it project by project rather than just having these general amounts put into the sales tax, because it just really changes it in my mind into a general fund that just says this money here is available. In the staff report, they noted that all of these projects would come back to us if they were over $25,000. But I've been around this lab a couple of times, and when it comes back, it's already a done project. I mean, it's already for an RFP. It's for us to now say, okay, you guys have done all this work, but you know, this isn't our priority. It's backwards. We would certainly want to prioritize the projects up front. So I would like to see us take the sales use tax and all of those general amounts that are in there that are not assigned to a direct project, we would move those into an unassigned capital fund that we would then have people come back with a specific project related to, and that we would prioritize those projects as they go forward. So that's the one one direction that I would like to see changed. And if there's not consensus on that, then I'd actually prefer that we split that out, and so we can vote on it separately. As for the ramps, I totally agree. I just asked about it the other day. Where are we at with testing the ramps? But we might be off the notice subject with that. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnage.
Thank you. I don't have a lot to add from the comments that I made a couple weeks ago. Just some more elaboration. The council chambers upgrades, I'm in favor of obviously keeping the money set aside. My preference is to do everything at once because I think it's going to be more cost effective for the city and the citizens. I'm glad we have this plan because, you know, it's not – it is a remodel for the council chambers, but it's not for the city council. It's for the public that comes. We have a pretty engaged public, you know, when we have something out there that they're interested in. And it is sort of a dysfunctional conference room with the restrooms. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable for people to wait in line, men, women, the conference room, everyone's sitting around the table right there. So now that I actually see this, this is something that serves the community, and I think it's sort of overdue. And so I would definitely be in favor of doing it all at once and within this budget. The artificial turf for the dog park, I think that you're correct. I think there was consensus up here, maybe not unanimous, for removing the stairs from Huskow and using that for the artificial turf. Obviously, the artificial turf, there's all kinds of issues that we have to work out with that, and that's in no way saying we're going to do artificial turf. We have to first sort of see what the cost is. I think it's a lot more money than what we have set aside, so there's going to be a cost share associated with this, with the group that's taking this on. But I think it's definitely worth looking into. And I was just over at the dog park the other day in the large dog park looking for places to plant shade trees. And I think that it's definitely something that is better than what's there now with the wood chips. And so I'm in favor of going forward and keeping that money set aside and investigating if that's going to be a good fit for the using the money for that. The critical action plan, the economic development and revenue plan, the refocused comprehensive economic development and revenue plan, I'm really in support of that. I feel it's right now is a perfect opportunity to look into that. With the new business we have in town, Mason Bar, Rooster Creek, the bakery, Ember, you drive by those businesses and there's lots and lots of people there spending their money in Arroyo Grande. In some locations and in some businesses, I didn't know if they'd necessarily be successful. And so I think that we've seen that there's opportunities in Arroyo Grande and people are willing to come here and shop and eat. We have a lot of underdeveloped infill property in Arroyo Grande, and I think that we haven't had much reach out because we've been busy and we've been short-staffed. And I think this is really important going forward to make sure that we are generating revenue, and I think there's some underused properties where we could generate more revenue with better businesses, newer businesses perhaps that aren't there now. And, you know, I am in favor of the proposed reductions that Bob went over, the $73,000 that we talked about. I think those are all my comments right now. I'll read through these if I come up with anything else. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Harmon.
Thank you. Regarding the capital improvement program, I can pretty much support as it addresses many of the major needs that have been identified. I have to say that I do like Mr. Councilmember Guthrie's comments related to perhaps taking a different look at how the local sales tax is prioritized, the capital account. I think it might make it much easier to track. It is a little hard once the projects come and they're so far in advance that they come to council. If there are any major issues, I'm not sure which is more, you know, negative on the project when it comes to us. And there are major issues. I think it is detrimental and actually might cost more money. So if we're able to at least prioritize those, however they're prioritized, whether it's because one's ready to go or the funding is easier to obtain or however it goes, I think I would like to take a look at that further. I also think it's a great idea to reallocate the money that we were going to spend on a staircase for just a few folks in the community to allocate the $30,000 to toward the artificial turf for the dog park, which, as we know, will benefit a large portion of our community as well as people not from our community using that dog park. Let's see. Regarding the council chamber, I'm still solely for moving forward just on the technological advancements. I know the need exists. I think it would be easier for me to approve a $225,000 allocation for restrooms if I actually had specific information as to how inconvenienced people are by having to share the bathroom. How many times the public is inconvenienced when we actually have a large crowd. It just seems like that money could be put toward the Elm Street Community Center or even set aside for funding for Briscoe. That is my direction on the council chamber up enhancements or remodel. I appreciate the worst-case scenario is being put into the Briscoe interchange. This is such a moving target. You know, just as of today, we find out there's more. You know, there's more to it. I think the best thing that we can do, not only for decision makers but also for our community, is as these things come up. I don't know if we have to have like a you know, Briscoe hotline or bulletin or something. Any way that can get information out that, you know, there might be some adjustments. I know that's a really hard thing to try to get a grip on, but we are talking about one of the biggest things that we know we must achieve, but we know it's one of the most costly things that we have to get done. And the more scrutiny we can give it, the better the project will be and the less impact it will have overall for our community. The Critical Needs Action Plan, I support the update and really like the fact that the focus is going to be on asset replacement and developing schedules and identifying what the infrastructure needs are and really getting a grip on that. It's time to do that, so I'm glad that it's incorporated. And then also with the developing of a long-term range for financial planning, absolutely a priority in my opinion. I do support the recommendations for the proposed reductions that were discussed by Mr. McFaul. I would also support the staffing allocations based on the fact that they can be achieved with no impact or reduction to our city services. But I say that with all of the staffing and the increases and the staffing that has been added, you know, I say that knowing that there's going to come a time where due to budgets and due to other priorities that type of discussion that we've had the luxury to have during this process may not be able to be achieved or sustained because our number one goal still continues to be having a balanced budget every year. So with that, I'm ready to move forward with the biennial budget. Thank you.
Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm ready to approve the overall budget. I do have some concerns, which I've stated previously, and I'm going to restate some of them tonight and probably add a few additional. Regarding the fire department budget, I am going to vote for it, even though I was against the allocation for the battalion chief. I do have a concern about sustainability. The mayor brought that up, and I think it's really an issue that we have to look at going forward, and Councilman Guthrie brought it up. Okay, so we authorize this. What's next? So I'm going to be interested to see from the authority where we are 6 months to a year from now and find out whether you're asking for additional funds or whether there's equity amongst the different cities about what their contribution is and if we're able to sustain our current staffing levels. I don't want Ricky being on call all year either. It's not a good thing. But the flip side is we also have to live within our budgets, and the new formula and the additional staffing is a large expense, and if we don't acknowledge that, I don't think we're being honest. So I do have some major concerns about that. Regarding Briscoe Interchange, I would mention this, that we had a presentation by one of the consultants with the Briscoe Interchange, and I asked the question, why do we have these options that don't seem like they're going to go forward? Why are we doing this? And he said, well, that's how the process started. We needed more than one option. We needed additional options. Not that we're going to adopt them, but we needed to look at additional options. It kind of had a life of its own. It took on a snowball effect and grew into something bigger, I think, than it started out to be. Do I think we're going to go with option four? Not a chance. I don't think it's going to happen. We've already proven what closing off the off-ramps can do, and I think we're headed in that direction. It's a question about indebtedness. Regarding City Hall, again, I would prefer the bare bones minimum. However, if it's cheaper to do it all at once, I'm more than willing to consider it. But we've had other projects. City Hall is one where we thought we were at a certain budget, and lo and behold, guess what happens? We get a $400,000 ADA elevator that blew the budget out of the water. So it's not that I'm against the project. It's that I want to see what the actual dollars are versus what the projected dollars are. And I think Councilman Guthrie can attest to my passion about this type of issue. Regarding Elm Street, same thing applies. I totally get that you may need to have a replacement building, but I want to know what the actual costs are versus projected costs, because again, it's a question of what we can afford. What else was I going to talk about? I think generally that's it. I am for the equity increases that we're proposing for certain staff, and it's well deserved and it's needed. So I appreciate that we're moving forward on that. And we've done a balanced budget. I would also agree with Councilman Guthrie's comments about the sales tax fund. It's amazing to me how that tends to morph into all these different things and gets beyond what some of the original intention was. And I agree that a lot of those have been met, so now what do we do? But I think he's correct in why not simplify the process rather than having all these different pots of money. It makes a lot more sense to me. I've probably forgotten something, but those are my comments.
Okay, thank you. My comments, first of all, on prioritization, I agree with Councilmember Guthrie and Councilmember Harmon, who specifically discussed prioritization, something we, I think, need to do. I see a parallel, perhaps, between a preliminary application and the permitting process, and perhaps we get a preliminary introduction of potential city projects to the council to allow for prioritization discussions to take place or to facilitate that. The general budget items, I appreciate your having the dog park reprioritized from the proposed stairway, and look forward to the contribution that would be made from the various donors who've contributed substantial funds to that project, and look forward to that going ahead. I do support the equity adjustments and the proposed reductions that were outlined to assure that the budget remains balanced. I support the economic development needs, and also am looking for, again, alignment and simplification of our processes, and support for our existing businesses and efforts to attract new businesses. Sustainability is a big thing. One thing that's not in this budget is proposals for fines that may be related from water conservation mandates. We have a 28% mandate to reduce water consumption citywide. There are proposals of fines that may be resultant from not meeting that. We awarded this evening for good participation with water conservation, and I would respectfully request everyone who's listening to this, or even those who hear about it secondhand, to please help us with water conservation efforts. This is a very big deal and could have some very severe adverse financial consequences to the city if we fall short of this mandated targets. So I look forward to all of you helping us to achieve those reductions. Briscoe, note Councilmember Guthrie's comment about the experiment of closing the ramps, something we may want to revisit just to, you know, assure ourselves again that that would solve the issues there. So that might be something that could be brought back to council at a near future meeting. But I'm generally prepared to support the budget as proposed. The city council chamber proposal. I think restrooms are necessary. ADA compliance is certainly necessary. The technology upgrades are a good thing. Possibly if the building had adequate restrooms, then when it was not being used for council meetings, meetings of the various, like the Planning Commission and so forth, that it could be rented as a facility that had adequate restrooms as a potential revenue generator for the city. So I think that, unless anyone else has further comment, Council Member Guthrie to start.
Yeah, because I forgot the City Hall to mention, to talk about that. You know, my concern with City Hall was, and probably is less tonight, was that in fact this is really should be in our economic development area, because it's just a waste of a really great space that really has much more value to the village than it does in City Hall.
Council chambers.
I'm sorry,
City
council
Hall.
Council chambers. Sorry. All right. Yeah, let's get rid of that building. Yeah. Let's go through that again. I could hardly wait. So at any rate, I do, as mentioned, the ADA. We talked about the convenience for the public and all, but here's one of the most public buildings we have, where we hold our meetings, where we invite the public, and in fact, we don't have ADA in this building. And frankly, of all the places, this is where we should have it. So I think I hope you're right at $200,000. As Council Member Brown said, ADA tends to get away from us in a hurry, and I guess there's enough space. You know, I'm sure you guys have measured it out, and I hope you're not coming back here looking for $200,000 more. So anyway, I do think if we're not going to build a totally different building, and if we did, it's going to be some significantly longer time. then I think we really have to do this, and this is the time to do it. So I'm okay with City Hall. I also didn't mention the dog park, but I'm in favor of the reallocating the park funds for the dog park. And when we get to it, I guess I'll need a little direction on how we might break out the local sales tax, because I think it's probably going to have to come back reworked. But
yes. Mr. Mayor, members of council, so I heard a consensus on moving forward with the full remodel of the council chambers, and I also heard consensus on reprioritizing, coming back with a different strategy on the sales tax fund. And I think that's more than we could probably work out tonight exactly what that is. So let us go back, and you can note that in your motion so that they're in your final budget adoption notion. We will come back then with alternatives and a further detailed discussion on how we exactly accomplish that.
Can I make one comment?
Please.
Okay. I just didn't talk about the rec building, and I would like to also see a copy of the building inspection. If we have that, I'm sure that a 1950s donated from the school district portable is past its prime, but I would and so I'm totally in favor of, when we know sort of what's going on out in the community, that we see how much that's going to cost and move forward with a new building if it's a portable building. But I would just like to make note, and just to see that inspection, if you could get it to us.
Sure.
Thank you.
I do have one. I also forgot one item. I wanted to express my appreciation for the accelerated sidewalk repair. That's been a huge bugaboo for me. I've been trying to get the budget for that increased, and I was glad to see it as an item. So I just want to express my appreciation for that.
Councilmember Harmon, any further thoughts?
Thank you.
Okay, with that, do we have a motion to proceed?
I'll go ahead if you want. I'll go ahead and I will attempt a motion. I feel like I have to crack my knuckles. Okay, so I move to adopt a resolution approving the fiscal year 2015-16 budget with amendments as follows: to have staff prioritize our sales tax fund based on projects. Individual projects. So what I'm trying to say, not very well, is to take a look at the sales tax fund and have staff prioritize that for council related to the projects that have been identified before moving forward. Also to accept the proposed.
I think Bob yes. might want.
I would suggest go ahead and complete your motion, and then after it's second, then there can be discussion on the motion, and we can clarify things like that. So
very good.
I would say proceed with your motion.
And then the second thing would be to also accept the proposed reductions and offsets that were outlined by Director McFaul related to and also the equity adjustments related to management and staffing. And then also to adjust the budget total as appropriate that's contained in the resolution before us tonight.
Second.
Question for clarification. I'm not sure that I heard that in the motion to actually approve the budget is
and
presented.
It's in the resolution.
It's in the resolution. Thank you.
Just two things under. One would be is a friendly amendment that we would actually just carve out for now the local sales tax and give separate direction for that.
Oh, okay.
From the approval, because it's going to come back separately. And the second is
that
my
would be the cleanest way to do it. This
okay.
Yes.
And the second amendment is I think we really had to read these into it as I think was our direction. Do we have to read that into our motion, these physical changes to the budget?
As I read them out publicly and on record now, you could refer to that. But we do need to reference the 2% COLA.
Yeah.
Just
going to add that. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
So and also the management equity adjustment, 2% COLA for part-time employees. and change the budget total as appropriate in the total.
That's acceptable to
the second still stands.
Thank you very much. Okay, we've moved and seconded to approve the budget with the notations that were made. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. Brings us to council communications.
Can we deal with the local sales since we...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just in providing direction to staff, the way I saw this and is that it would come back in as a general comment, I would say anything that is not assigned to a project would be moved to a unassigned capital fund that then if projects came forward in the future, they would be targeted, that they would be using that fund for whatever complete project we have that we prioritize. That's the basic direction I was thinking of.
I think that's our general understanding, but what we will do is bring a very specific report back that actually has current balances, what projects are there, items that need to continue to be funded because they're active versus ones that can go back to fund balance. So I think it'd be best if we brought a report back to make sure we have complete clarity. And then internally, what we want to do and work with council is what would the best process be on a going forward basis of how to bring specific projects back to council and the timing of it, so we ensure that we're meeting council's expectations on that.
And I would just add to that I think that the mayor was bringing up a point, sort of like a, I don't know if you called it this, but sort of like a pre-app when people, because pre-apps, we got away from those for a long time, and then we've had a couple of them come back, and I think they're very beneficial to us and the community and staff to just sort of get all that stuff out on the table. So something like a pre-app, I think, would be great.
Are we good then?
That's satisfactory for me as well.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, just before you move, just once again, on behalf of staff, we really appreciate council's and the community's engagement in the budget process. We think a tremendous amount was accomplished while maintaining the kind of scrutiny that needs to happen on the budget and to maintain a balanced budget, but taking some very important steps in identifying economic development needs and sustainability of continuing to provide the incredibly fine services that go on here. And a personal thanks once again to all of the staff that we have worked through this as a team together every minute on the way. They've really been excellent.
I know that all of the council members, I think I can speak for them, to thank you and thank the staff for the budget preparation is a big deal, and I think you've carried it off well. So kudos to the entire staff for the long effort and the hard work that's resulted in a balanced budget.
Thank you very much. We live for it.
Okay, with that then, we can move to council communications.
I do have one, if I could.
Councilmember Harmon, let's start with you.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to acknowledge the work that the California Conservation Corps, perhaps folks have seen them around town, having their hands on our turf, literally ripping it out as part of our conservation measures. They've been in our city over the past 33 days. A crew of 10 has worked 8 hours per day, assisting us, like I said, with the turf removal to pretty much enhance our attempts to meet our goal for water conservation. Also, hats off to Ron Simpson, Supervisor of Public Works, and also Director English. Utilizing the Conservation Corps saved the city at least $50,000 for this project, and I think that the public needs to be very much aware of that, and this is just another example of how conscientious staff are in utilizing the limited resources that are before them. So thank you for that, and I'll look forward to the report on all of the progress that's been made. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you. I just want to acknowledge I got a number of emails regarding fireworks on the 4th of July, given the drought. I called Bob McFall, and he explained very rightly so that there were a lot of nonprofits that have already purchased their fireworks for this year, and it would be a huge issue if we were to stop that. And in addition, he confirmed through the fire chief that while they would probably prefer not having any fireworks, given that we are having them, that they didn't have too many additional calls, and they weren't overly concerned about being able to provide service even in the drought. So I just want to acknowledge that those emails were received by us. They were discussed at length by staff, and they're not being ignored. We just came to the conclusion that at this late date, it was too hard to change anything. So thank you.
Councilmember Guthrie.
We did earlier this evening have the comment about our potential liability related to retroactive charges with the five cities. And I think it would be appropriate to either have a closed session on what our real risk is and how we might address that, or at minimum a confidential memo so that everybody's – I've talked to staff about it, but I do want to be sure that as a council we're all on board and know where we're going.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnage.
Thank you. I would like an update. I was thinking about the Briscoe and where we were, sort of what the direction we gave on shutting down Briscoe. Now we're in summer, so I don't know if summer is a good time to do it or not, depending on what we're sort of looking for and not looking for. So maybe we have to wait until school starts up again at the end of August, but I think that's definitely something we need to do. On June 18th at 6 p.m. in the council chambers, we'll have a Strawberry Festival recap meeting, and we're seeking public input from citizens, business owners. Come and share your likes or dislikes or observations or ways we can make it better, perhaps, or things we should do to keep it just as it is. I think it's important that we have this meeting and we're definitely have an open mind and see who shows up and gives us the information we're looking for. I wanted to ask, how is the public or how are the business owners being notified for that meeting?
The community development director and their staff have a mailing list of people who have been interested in this, but they have just looked internally at all the different business groups, the chamber, and existing bodies that have expressed in the past interest about it, or simply that we know would be interested in about it that are influenced by it. So they've put together, based on that, a mailing list, a contact list that I'm pretty positive has already been distributed or is right now in the process of. So that they did it through means of just their contacts that they've have had with this and the larger business community and residential community that would be interested.
Okay, so I did email a couple people that have given me feedback in the past. They didn't seem to indicate that they knew about it, and they are it's three local businesses in the village. So can we just check and make sure, so since it's sure coming up pretty quickly? And then also there was a I wanted to acknowledge Paulding Middle School took a big step in saving water. Last week, there is a big, long-standing tradition of water balloon fights for each of the wings. Actually for one wing, the seventh graders. And some parents found out about it. They emailed the principal, and I emailed as well. And the kids were very disappointed, but they did understand that we were in a drought. And they thought that it would be a good idea to not have the water balloon fight. And I remember when we did it years ago when one of my daughters was in seventh grade, it was an immense amount of water balloons. They asked each child to bring in sometimes like an igloo ice chest filled with water balloons. So everybody was disappointed, but they understood the reason. And so the principal, whose name is Mr. Aragoni, I'd like to thank him and the staff and the kids for skipping that this year. Thank you.
Okay. To follow up on the comment about fireworks, I would again request everyone's help to use those safe and sane fireworks safely and sanely, specifically not on dry grass or areas that may cause fire danger. So, again, just asking for responsible participation. A couple of notices. Our State Senator Bill Monning and our Assemblyman Kacho Ashajian are joining with the Contractor State License Board to provide a free seminar, Seniors Scam Stopper Seminar, which is going to be held Friday, July 24th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. In Cambria, 950 Main Street, Cambria, at the Jocelyn Recreation Center. And this is to help people become aware of internet scams and other requests for money and so forth from seniors that are often taken advantage of by good or reasonable sounding propositions that end up not being as advertised. So that again is Friday, July 24th, 11 to 1 p.m. at the Jocelyn Recreation Center, 950 Main Street in Cambria. And they are requesting RSVPs. You can call Senator Monning's office. That's 805-549-3784. Or Assemblyman Asajian's office, 805-549-3381. Also, just for council's information, the mayor of San Luis Obispo asked me to make available the polystyrene food container ordinance that they just passed there, so I have a copy of it and I can make it available to council members or staff for their interest. And finally, I'd like to invite everybody to come to the grand reopening of the police department. Our new police station will be open, and we're having a grand reopening on Saturday, the 13th. And that is, of course, at the police station, 200 North Halcyon. It'll be, they'll have tours, displays, canine demonstrations, and that's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This coming Saturday. So I invite you out and take a look at your new police station. I think you got a great deal, and we're justifiably proud of the project. So invite everyone to come out for that. Is there staff communications?
Mr. Mayor, only a follow-up on the fireworks concern. We actually very much appreciate the communications that we've received from the community about the fireworks, particularly given the drought. The fire department is very sensitized to the issue, and as they have done in the past, they will step up their readiness in preparation for 4th of July, and also on 4th of July, where they traditionally have a, as they just described, as a stepped-up readiness. They've also prepared a public release, public information that they're releasing just before to remind the community about the drought conditions and the importance of using safe and sane fireworks in a proper and safe way. So we want to make sure that, they, that those who are concerned about the drought, that we're not, as Councilmember Brown indicated, we're not disregarding that at all. We are really being as cautious as we can and taking all the precautions. And very likely that perhaps maybe council will want to have a discussion about this next year when it's there's more a more timely ability to be able to do so.
Okay. Brings us to closing community comments and suggestions. Would anyone from the public like to address the council again?
Hi, it's Aaron Hinkle, Unit 196 South Alpine. I just wanted to thank staff. Sorry. For the recent card that they sent me for my loss. So thank you.
Would anyone else? else like to address the council at this time? Okay, hearing none, we have no closed session because we've already had it, and therefore we are ready to adjourn. If there is a motion to do so. Okay.